make you determine what to wear. You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the man.
Good evening, Merry Meet, and welcome to episode 51 of Beyond the Threshold. I am your host, Gary Blackheart. For the next 60 minutes or so, or maybe even more this evening, be prepared for a rather wicked experience in one way or another, as we begin our journey down a more darker road with something that has been highly misunderstood for a very long time and has also been and has been so misused that even the name itself has grown an alternate meaning. Now, what I'm talking about is something every one of you knows of, but not all of you knows about, and is allegedly a part of a witch's arsenal, so to speak. So, if you believe the stereotype, we're going to go and follow along this road here Tonight, we're going to be taking a journey down the road of the curse. That's right. The curse. The almighty, all-powerful, all-bad, bad juju curse thing, you know? Now, before we begin to take this very treacherous journey, it's important to understand that when someone, anyone, speaks of a curse, you know, it's a safe bet that the age-old belief that a curse is, at its primal state, a spell. You know, we've all seen The Mummy Returns. This is place is cursed. The place is cursed. It's some kind of spell or craft work or a ritual or something to that effect. In other words, it's someone got pissed off and gathered some ingredients, recited some words in iambic pentameter, and poof, bang, boom, a curse is born. Chances are good once this takes place. Again, only if you believe the stereotype, someone somewhere is about to have a bad time. And if they don't do a certain thing or change their ways, the curse will remain forevermore in their bloodline, passing down from generation to generation. Now, whether or not you believe this idea is irrelevant. No matter where you go or who you talk to in the world, if you mention that you have a curse, oh, how they shudder and to avoid you, either because they think you're crazy or because they think you're fucked. Nevertheless, curses are very real. Tonight, we're going to remove the veil from your eyes and let you see what a curse is in its reality. We're going to break it down to you and give it to you in a detailed format. And then we're going to give you a couple of prime examples of what curses are and what curses can do. And then give you some historical references to this and superstitions. And perhaps a touch a little bit on what happens when a resident of the other side is included in such curse. So keep it locked right here. Now, before we even jump into that, this is a Power Pack show this evening, things are going to be happening, and so on and so forth. Now, remember when I told you during episode 50 we were going to be going and we were going to be doing some new things and different things, maybe some interviews, maybe a couple of extra add-on shows, maybe something else, a couple of guest hosts here, there, just bouncing around? Well, tonight, we're actually going to do just that. For the next 20 minutes or so, a little bit more than that, what you're going to be listening to is an actual excerpt from the very first episode of a show called Music Witch 101. Now, this show is going to be for the next couple of episodes of BTC. It's going to be a part of Beyond a Threshold. It's going to be like an addition to it. It's going to be sort of like a derivation from it. And this is the PG-rated show. This is a PG version of BTC. This is the version for the younger ones. So all of us witches and pagans and necromancers and workers in between and so on and so forth can have something to give to our kids, our younger ones that are learning and just getting into the craft or just getting into this environment and just getting into the supernatural and stuff. It is hosted by a girl by the name of Jillian Isis Simon, and she is this amazing soon to be 12-year-old little girl who just happens to be in touch with so many things that I could never even dream of at that age. It's just amazing. She is spot on, lined up with everything. So she was a little on the nervous side, and she wanted to start out with something small and something short. So this is more or less like an introductory episode, if you will. It's a little bit of music, a little bit of talking, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. I guarantee it. Okay, so have your kids come close, and for the next 20 minutes, you are going to be listening to Music Witch 101, Episode 1. So keep it locked right here.
Music Witch 101. I'm your host, Isis, and I'm going to be your mentor on the basics of paganism. Music Witch 101 is for anyone who's looking for a religion to follow. And think about what? Being a witch. There's a lot of different religions out there, Catholic, and all that junk. It's your decision, even though you have the blood of that religion. Now, I'm going to talk about the basics of witchcraft. And to help you understand, I'm going to let you listen to songs that's similar to the lesson. Now, the first song of the day is called Broken Road by Soli Erna. This song is the best pagan song I ever heard of. And to me, it's about trying to get noticed, but it never happens. And all you feel is nothing but sorrow and pain. But also learning at the same time that you can survive the cold without someone by your side. Soliana's Broken Road is on the Brome, so stay tuned for more.
Broken road.
What's up, and welcome back to Music Witch 101. Silly Ernest Broken Road is at the station and is done. I happen to love that song a lot, and I hope you did too. I chose that song because it reminded me of some people that I know from my school, and it showed me what they are like. But I can survive without some of those people. The next song is from Bridget Mendler, and it is called Forgot to Laugh. To me, it's about your guy. Well, for you girls out there, to me, it's about your guy going away, and you get so mad that you start to curse him. Not like say bad words to him, but you put a curse on him for what he did. The lesson in this song is that witches can turn bad. It's actually kind of rude. There's always a dark side to magic also. Stay on your broom because Bridget Mendler's Forgot to Laugh just joined us on our ride.
When I read your face, it's like a screen door. I can see right through your heart's a window. Why you gotta treat me like the bimbo? Mistakes that are when you don't care anymore. You make it so easy.
Here to say that Bridget Mendler's Forgot to Laugh was just the second song on our show, so there's still more to come. Now let's talk about me for a little bit. I'm in sixth grade and I'm excited about that, but it's hard to do school and work with the show at the same time, but I'm gonna try to do it at the same time too. Now back to our music. Who's a big fan of Justin Bieber? I bet a lot of you are. So the third song of the day is called That Should Be Me by Justin Bieber. It's about deciding to fight for the most powerful magic of all, love. In Witch Talk, you're using bad magic to earn good. To me, you can't really use evil magic to earn good, ever. It just gets the balance undone. It will never get you anywhere, but it can fill your heart with madness and misery. Don't go away. We'll be right back with some tips about witchcraft after That Should Be Me by Justin Bieber. With my friend Diamond, who's going to help me announce the next song.
This is by Serena.
Oh no! This is going to be the final song from us. So here's what it's called.
It's called Avalon, and it's by Serena, who
was the same guy who wrote Broken Road, which you heard earlier. It is about ritual, which is what you have to do in order to do spells. There are different types of rituals, and they can be all for different things, like witchy holidays such as Mabon, or the first day of fall. This song talks about stuff that you can do at ritual. Have your goblets ready, and stay tuned after Avalon by Soliurna.
Thank you.
That was the last song of our day, so I hope you enjoy this 30-minute show called Music Witch 101, with all the info you need to become a witch. Now you know why I decided to be on the show. To help people, help show people the basis of witchcraft comes within yourself. You can find books on how to be a witch at some bookstores, so keep your eyes peeled. One recommended author I would suggest will be Silver Ravenwolf. She's a good author. She wrote a couple of books. One was Teen Witch, which I have. It's actually pretty good. It has all spells, rituals, only info you'll need. Now grab your goblets and wands and find your brooms back home, because this school day is over. I'm your mentor, Isis, saying see you next time on Music Witch 101.
And that was Music Witch 101 with Jillian Isis. That's now, mind you, this is it was her first episode, and I think that she did pretty damn well for someone who's never done a podcast before or never done an episode of anything before. So she did pretty good. And then Jillian promised me that later on down the road, in the next couple of episodes or so, that she is going to do this, that she's actually going to be teaching some, you know, some Witchcraft 101 and Paganism 101 stuff. So, and this is going to be geared for just the kiddies. Okay. Now that we've decided to finish that one and wrap that part up of the episode of BTT, here comes the next bit. So you might want to send the kids back away from the speakers, and you know, here we go back to the R-rated version. All right, so what is the curse? The curse, any curse, starts with you. Say, for example, I don't know, you pissed off your neighbor. And your neighbor, unbeknownst to you, happens to be someone who is supposedly delving in voodoo, or somebody who is a practicing gypsy, or a practicing witch, or someone who practices in the dark arts, so to speak. Air quotes included. You may or may not hear them say a curse on your house or someplace as that, or you may have, you know, when you go to speak to one of your friends that you've wronged them and explain to them, hey, you know, they kind of keep looking pissed off at me because I did this to them. Your friends might come around saying, you know, you better be careful. They might place a curse on you and you might not be able to recover from that. All right, here's what it boils down to. A curse, any curse, is mostly 99% mental. It is a thought, a simple thought or suggestion at its base. It's a thought or suggestion that has been placed into your head that if you did something, something bad is going to happen to you. Could that somewhat sound like? Well, that kind of sort of sounds like karma. You fuck up, something bad's going to happen to you. Here is a good example of this. Okay, way back in the day, there was a superstition or a belief that in the city of Philadelphia, if any building was built higher than the statue of Billy Penn, which sits on top of a certain building in Philadelphia, that a curse was to be placed on the city and that no sports team was to ever win a championship ever. Period. End of story. If any building, and we'll say this again, if any building was to ever be taller than the statue of Billy Penn, nobody would be winning a championship. It would just fail miserably. Now, if you look at the history of the Philadelphia sports teams, Flyers included, Sixers, Eagles, Phillies, up until, I'd say, I think it was 2009 or 2008, I believe it was, there hasn't really been a sports team from Philadelphia that's won anything. Okay? Right up until, I believe it was 2009. Okay? This is where, this right up until 2008-2009 here, nobody, none of the Philadelphia teams ever won a sports title. The Eagles never won a Super Bowl. They came close. They came really damn close. The Sixers never won the NBA Finals. They came close. They came really damn close. The Flyers never won the Stanley Cup. They came close. They came really damn close. But that never happened. Now, some fans believe that the city broke a gentleman's agreement in 1987. And that 1987 agreement was that no skyscraper could be higher than the statue of Billy Penn at the top of the spire of City Hall, and that automatically will put the curse on air. Now, when the final beam of the construction of the Comcast Center, which is Philly's tallest structure to date, was raised in June 18th of 2007, iron workers of Local Union 401 attached a small figurine of William Penn to the beam in an attempt to break the curse. Coincidentally, the Philadelphia Phillies won a 2008 World Series. So, apparently, the curse was lifted. Right? Yeah. We're in 2013, and since then, the curse continues, apparently, because the city sports teams have also lost in championship finals in years. They've done presidential inaugurations. Anytime the president was inaugurated, they've also lost their championships. So each of the four city teams have lost championships during such years twice. So it's kind of like, it's not really consistent, but there you go. Now, who started that rumor? The rumor started way back in the day. And it was back in the day since the 76ers won the Los Angeles Lakers in the 1983 NBA Finals. Now, for some strange reason, we thought that, well, that's going to be it. We're going to be champions. The city of Philadelphia is going to have nothing but championship sports teams. But then a series of losses started taking place. And then, as usual, when a sports team gets really, really good at winning, like, say, for example, the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals or something like that, when a sports team gets really, really good, the other teams have to step up their game and get better than the champions of that year. And so they're going to step up their game. They're going to get better. Now, those who have won the championship, the members of that team, chances are good, are going to be sold off or traded off to other teams who want them and who are willing to bet the money. And those players go off elsewhere. Meanwhile, new players come in, the team rebuilds, and there you go. Thusly causing the team to lose consecutively over and over again until they get a good tight-knit team. The exceptions, there are exceptions to this rule, such as the Dream Team from Chicago, from the Chicago Bulls, the LA Lakers, the San Francisco 49ers, the New England Patriots. Their team stayed consistent, didn't break up, and all of a sudden kept winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl. And yet, the moment these teams split themselves up, yeah, now you're not going to win anymore. So it's not really a curse, but the idea was there. The thought was there, and everybody around it, once they heard it's the curse of Billy Penn, oh my God, it's the curse. Well, of course the Philly teams are not going to win because it's cursed. There's an example. That right there is the example. Say for another way. Say for example, you piss off your next door neighbor. Your next door neighbor happens to be in practicing voodoo. There is a belief, there is a theory that if the voodoo priestess or priest wishes to place harm upon you, they do not have to touch you. They can make a little doll. And this little doll will have the likeness or similar likeness to you. It may have a snatch of your clothing or a snatch of your hair or something that's personal that's yours attached to the doll. And if that particular voodoo person happens to take pin needles or something to that effect and stab you or crush you or do something to that doll, then ultimately that's going to come to you. All right. It's like this. There are a million and one dolls that are out there that look like a million and one people. I'm sure the kids that are out there in this world have a lot of WWE wrestling fan dolls. And these WWE dolls are very much lifelike, very much similar to the wrestlers that are on TV. Facial expressions, facial features, the shapes, the bodies, the whole nine yards. Now, say for example you had The Rock. The Rock's toy is being presented to somebody. The Rock happens to lose a match. The kid really wanted The Rock to lose. He gets pissed off. He happens to be connected to someone who practices voodoo. The guy who practices voodoo tells the kid to go and stab The Rock's doll, and The Rock will eventually be stabbed and die. That's a curse. That is bullshit. It's bullshit. If I were to take a doll of The Rock and I were to stab that doll, The Rock is not going to walk around with a sudden gaping hole in his chest because I stabbed him. No. Maybe somewhere down the road, his not winning that particular match might stem into something else, or him doing something other stupid might get him into the mentality that he's, you know, doing something wrong, or the very thought that I am placing a curse on him is going to get him into the mindset that he might lose match after match after match. But me making a doll and stabbing it is not going to do that. Now, in the magical community, we all believe in the concept of intent. We believe that we wish to work energy work with the intention of producing blank, or the pretension of causing blank. That is us sending our energy out into the universe in a particular manner in order for a certain effect to happen to us. If we ask the universe for a certain thing, ultimately, if we continue to keep putting energy towards it and keep putting energy towards it and putting effort into it and so on and so forth, then that very thing will come to us. Now, because of the fact that we place that much energy into a particular item, desired object, or so on and so forth, there's this common misconception that if we could put our energy towards wanting to cause harm to someone, and placing a curse upon them is going to help us cause harm to someone, and getting them to believe that they are cursed, it's going to cause harm to someone. We're putting the energy out there. We're stating our intent. We're putting our energy out there. And if that person truly does believe that they are being cursed by us, then they're going to walk around constantly thinking over and over again, oh my God, I'm cursed. Then you're going to start thinking and looking at all the negative things that are happening to them. Well, this, I'm doing this, and I fell down the fucking steps because it's cursed. Or I walked on the floor, and I slipped and fell and busted my knee open because of this curse. It couldn't possibly be because the floor had just recently been whacked, or there was a puddle on the floor, or you lost your footing on the stairwell. No, it was the curse, because so-and-so cursed you because you pissed them off or shaved their dog when they weren't looking. Something like that. The mentality of someone who believes that they are cursed, the mentality of anyone who believes that they are cursed, changes. And that mentality and their energy changes. It goes from a positive or balanced energy to a negative energy, because now they're looking to avoid, they're looking for things, looking, spotting signs and trying to find proof that they are actually being cursed. Now, the person who is supposedly cursing them or placing the curse on them is sending that negative energy out, and sending this negative energy out into the universe, which ultimately will eventually come back to them, the person who's laying the curse, is also not beneficial, because not only have you pissed the person off that you're trying to get revenge upon, but you're ultimately going to lose that friend or lose that person or enrage that person, and they may very well backfire and come back at you for it. And it starts animosity and arguing, and it's all a bunch of hooey. What it boils down to is this. If you're going to curse somebody, anybody, and you're going to place this curse upon someone, the first thing that you're doing is you're taking your feeling that they've slighted you in some way. They've done something to you or a member of your family or a member of your friends or a member of your coven or a member of your kinfolk that has actually placed these curses, that's wronged you or slighted you or disrespected you. And ultimately, in that mindset, you're letting this bother you. You're letting this energy get into you and affect the way you run your live your life. So because you're enraged by that, because you're harmed by that, because you're hurt, because you're devastated, you ultimately want to get back at that person. You want to get revenge on that person. So you're going to place a curse upon them. Now, if you truly believe the superstition, and if you truly believe that curses actually do exist, here's what you do. You go and find something that belongs, you have to go and first of all find something that belongs to them. Something that they hold, cherish, or hold, or make in contact, or come in contact with every single day. And then you have to clearly state what you want to have happen to them. The poor schmuck constantly parks in my parking spot every morning. Every morning at 3:15 in the morning when I go to work, this poor schmuck, I have a certain place where I park. And for the past month of Sundays, this poor schmuck keeps coming into my parking spot and parking in my parking spot. How dare he? He doesn't own that parking spot. It's mine. I never put my name on it, but it's obviously mine. So you're going to want to get back at him for it. So you find something that belongs to him, and then you state your intention, and I want him to stop parking in that parking spot. Now, other than walking, now, normal people, the normal of us, the ones of us who have some sort of common sense and have some sort of intelligence, and I'm sure all of you listening to me absolutely have this type of intelligence, would walk up to the gentleman and say, would you be so kind? I normally park there. Is there any way that you could park someplace else? Or, hey, you know what? The world does not belong to you. Find your own parking spot and let the dude park where he needs to park. Regardless of which, if that would be the most common sense thing to do. But we end up not doing that. We end up not staring away from what's common sense and what's common knowledge and what's normal. And you know what? We're going to just get it. We're just going to stick it right to this guy and we're going to put a curse on him. So we have to get something that belongs to them. Anything. It could be something that they drop or misplace or something like that. Hey, borrow a pen from them. One of their favorite pens. Use it on something. And then take that. Fold it up into a piece of paper. Fold it up. Put it in your back pocket. Take it home. Now, because you have the ink of the pen of the person that's using it, or because you have a lock of their hair, or because you have the pen itself, then you're going to do what? You have to state an intention. I want this guy to stop. I place a curse upon this item. I want to have this. Whenever this guy touches his pen, may he never be able to park in my parking spot. Or whenever this guy touches his pen, may he never be able to do this. May he never be able to do that. All right. Now, common sense will tell you, I pick up pens all the time. I pick up other people's pens all the time, pick up my pens all the time. My pen, me picking up a pen, is not going to cause me to want to park in a different parking spot. It's not. It really, really isn't. If I show up, my tires are flat, it's not still not going to cause me to want to park in a different parking spot. If I'm going to park there, I'm going to park there, and nothing that anybody is ever going to do other than having my fucking car towed is going to cause me from not parking there. Now, if you want bad things to happen to me, and so on and so forth, here's what you really want to do. You walk up to me and you say, I curse you. I don't want you. You are cursed. You are damned. So for every time you park in my parking spot, may you have a 1,000 accidents today. May you always make mistakes, and may you never be able to pay your bills on time. All right, that's a little bit more consent. That's a little bit more making more sense now, because now I've gotten this mindset. Oh my God, I'm parking in this guy's parking spot. I'm messing this guy's up, and he's telling me he's saying may you never do this, may you never do that. I wonder, am I ever going to get my bills paid? Screw him. I'll be able to go get my bills paid. That's not a problem. Wait a minute. Why am I not being able to get my bills paid? So you're in that mindset automatically. The person who's receiving the curse is in that mindset automatically that they're not going to be able to do these things unless they stop doing this. So you've already set the wheels in motion. That's part of the intention. That's part of intent. Now, that would be the intent part. The first thing being the object, the second part being intent. Now here comes the third part. You actually have to see it through fruition. Any curse that you decide to place on someone, you actually have to see it through. Once you start the ball rolling on something, you can't just half-ass that shit. You're going to have to go all the way through this. You're going to have to make sure that the curse sticks. So you have to be on that shit. So if you really want this guy to, every time he picks up a pen, to have something bad happen to him, then you're going to have to make sure bad things happen to him. See where this starts to get a little on the crazy side? See where this starts to get a little on the, I don't know, illegal side? Yes, that's right. Because you don't want him to park in your parking spot, and every time he picks up that pen, you have to prove to him that the curse is working. That's the part. You have to prove to him and make sure it works. You have to prove to him that it's actually working. So, in order to pick up the pen, you tell him that every time he touches his pen, something bad's going to happen to him. You've got to follow this sumbitch around, and you got to make sure that something bad happens to him every time he picks up the pen. Do you see how ridiculous that sounds? Do you hear how ridiculous that sounds? But yet, there are people out there that truly believe that that curse happens. Now, I'm not going to spin the wheels or anything like that, and I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass. I'm not going to say this flat out. I do believe that there are people out there that have ill will intentions towards other people. I am a true believer towards that. I am a true believer that there are people that exist that in this world that have nothing better to do than to cause harm to other people. That's their intention. And I have no doubt in my mind that there are people that wish to take their aggressions out on other people because they felt slighted, or they wish to gain revenge on someone because they felt slighted. So they're going to do everything they can to make sure they gain revenge. But what it really is it really a curse, or is it something a little bit deeper? Now, a curse is a superstition. It is a belief. It is a mindset. Yes, but here's where the reality of the curse sets in. The reality of the curse sets in is based all upon the one emotion known as fear. If you can strike fear into someone, such as domestic terrorism, raider terrorism, or just scaring the hell out of them, if you strike fear in someone, and the fear that you strike into that person is fueled by your anger towards what they've done to you, that person who is afraid is now going to be afraid of doing that particular action every time. It is the energy that you are sending forth into the universe and sending it directly towards them. They feel it. They don't realize they feel it, but they feel it. And that fear is what's going to cause the curse to go into spin into motion and spin into wheels. That's what's going to cause the paranoia. That's what's going to cause them to screw up. That's what's going to cause them to pay attention to the things that they're screwing up. And when you pay attention to the things that you're screwing up, obviously you're going to screw up more because now it's out in the open. That's what it boils down to. That's what curses really, really are. Here are some examples of what most people see curses of. All right. There is a curse of Tippecanoe. The name, the Curse of Tippecanoe, also known as Tecumseh's Curse, the Presidential Curse, Zero-Year Curse, the 20-Year Curse, or 20-Year Presidential Jinx, is used to describe the regular death in office of presidents of the United States, elected or re-elected in years divisible by 20. This is a curse, mind you. The idea behind the curse, from William Henry Harrison, who elected in 1840, through John F. Kennedy, who was elected in who was done in 1960, Ronald Reagan in 1980, George W. Bush in 2000. The curse, the way it works, it was widely publicized in Ripley's Believe It or Not in 1931. It began with the death of William Henry Harrison, who died in 1841 after being elected in 1840. For the next 120 years, presidents elected, now this is a numerical fact, presidents elected during years ending in zero, occurring every 20 years, ultimately died while serving in office, from Harrison to John F. Kennedy, who was elected in 1960 and died in 63. Now, the name Curse of Tippecanoe derives from the 1811 Battle of Tippecanoe and Tyler II. As governor in the Indiana Territory, William Harrison used questionable tactics in the negotiation of the 1809 Treaty of Fort McHenry with Native Americans, in which they ceded large tracts of land to the United States government. Now, the treaty further angered the Shawnee leader Tecumseh, who brought government soldiers and Native Americans to the brink of war in the period known as Tecumseh's War. Tecumseh and his brother organized a group of Indian tribes designed to resist the westward expansion of the United States. In 1811, Tecumseh's forces, led by his brother, attacked Harrison's army in the Battle of Tippecanoe, earning Harrison's fame of the nickname Old Tippecanoe. Harrison strengthened his reputation even more by defeating the British at the Battle of the Thames during the War of 1812. In an account of the aftermath of the battle, Tecumseh's brother, Tenskwatawa, known as the Prophet, supposedly set a curse. Here you go. He got pissed off because of this battle, so he sets a curse against Harrison and future White House occupants who became president during the years with the same number as Harrison. This is the basis of how the curse happened. Now here's the deal. Okay. What this breaks down to is this. You fucked up. You're Henry Harrison. You beat the British in the Battle of the Thames. You were attacked by Tecumseh's forces and you won that battle. You took land from the Native Americans, and you're going to piss off a bunch of people. So these people are going to get pissed off, and they're going to curse you. They're going to tell you that they hope that you die, and they hope that anybody dies the same year that you were elected is going to die too. Now, historians can find any type of coincidence and any numerical coincidence that they want. You can find, you can sit there and you can go and look at through the historic facts, and you can rename so many different conspiracies and so many different coincidences, and you can go through numerical facts and numerical facts and numerical facts and line them up and make it seem like it's a curse. You can do this. You can do this. The reason how you can do it, but what you're doing essentially is you're looking at historical facts, you're looking at numerical years, historical facts, and then you're going to look back to try and find something that connects all of these two. And then you're going to find out that somebody somewhere said something bad about somebody and pissed that person off. And then you're going to find out that person got pissed off and died at a certain time. And then you're going to say, well, you know what? This guy died here, and this guy died here, and this guy died here, and this guy died here. So all of a sudden, boom, there's a curse. You could do the same thing as a 1963/1863. President Lincoln shot in Ford's Theater. John F. Kennedy was shot in a Ford. I mean, you can come up with all sorts of stuff. You can do and say 1863, 1963, 2063, something could happen to the president of the United States in 2063, because that's how it works. That's the progression. That's the curse of 63. You could try that and possibly be numerically accurate, but it's not a curse. It's somebody placing a negative thought into somebody's head, and then all of a sudden they're dying, and then some historian looking back at it and saying, oh my God, there was a curse. It's not really a curse. It's not a curse. A curse, in essence, is just an insult, a ladle of negative information. That's all it is. All right, here's another one that'll make you laugh. Okay, the Poltergeist movie. This is a Poltergeist curse, all right? The Poltergeist curse is a rumor of a supposed curse that was attached to the Poltergeist trilogy and his crew, derived from the fact that the first four cast members died in the 6 years between the releases of the first and third films. The rumor is often fueled by the fact that the real skeletons were used as props in various scenes of Poltergeist and Poltergeist 2. The rumor and surrounding deaths were explored in the 2002 episode of E! True Hollywood Story entitled Curse of Poltergeist. Now, here's the four people that died. Dominique Dunn. She died on November 2nd, 1982, and she was the age of 22, and she played the eldest daughter, Dana. She was strangled by her abusive former boyfriend, John Thomas Sweeney. He was convicted of a voluntary manslaughter and sentenced to 6 years in prison, but was paroled after serving 3.5 years. There's Julian Beck, 60-year-old actor who was Henry Kane in Poltergeist 2. He died on the 14th of September, 1985 of stomach cancer, diagnosed before he had accepted the role, because that's, you know, so coincidental. Then Will Sampson, 53 years old, he played Taylor, the medicine man in Poltergeist 2. He died as a result of postoperative kidney failure and preoperative malnutrition problems in 1987. And then Heather O'Rourke, who played Carol Ann, because we couldn't just say Carol or Ann, we had to say Carol Ann every time. She played Carol Ann in all three Poltergeist movies. She died on February 1st, 1988, at the age of 12, after what doctors initially described as an acute form of the flu, but later changed it to septic shock after bacterial toxins invaded her bloodstream. At the time, she had suffered acute bowel obstruction, initially diagnosed with Crohn's disease, and may have been the cause of death. Okay, here's what that breaks down to. It's not a curse. Every single one of the individuals here died of either natural or violent causes. It just so happens that they happened to be in a movie together. It just so happens that they had to be in a movie where real skeletons were used as props. It just so happens that the movie happened to be a scary movie called Poltergeist. And it just so happens that they were all connected and interacted with each other. That is not a curse. If you were going to do that, you were going to do a curse on that, you might as well put a curse on Kevin Bacon. Because Kevin Bacon has been connected to every single person. They even made a game after him. So any single person that's ever been in a movie with Kevin Bacon is automatically going to get an Oscar. We'll try that. All right. Name how many people have been connected to a Kevin Bacon or have been starred in with Kevin Bacon or alongside Kevin Bacon or in a movie ever, even directed by Kevin Bacon or with music by Kevin Bacon. See, the list goes on and on and on and on and on, and there are not many award winners out there. So you can make a curse and come up with it and connect people together, and then all of a sudden, oh, there's a curse. It's cursed. It's cursed. This place is cursed. Now, back in the day, before all of these, before, you know, the science and the numbers and so on and so forth actually came to pass, people really, really based their entire belief structures upon curses. The Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians, believed in believed that certain things, yes, were in fact cursed. The Greeks, the Romans, the Celts, the Taoists, the Buddhists, the Islamics, all the earlier religions, even some religions, believed in the cursed. If, for example, you were restricted from, if you ever entered or attempted to enter Tutankhamun's tomb, may a curse fall upon you. Tutankhamun's tomb is filled with fucking traps. Traps that you have never seen before and probably will never ever see ever in your life unless you've walked into Tutankhamun's tomb. And not only that, if you, back in the days of Egypt, were told by the pharaoh or soldiers or anybody else that there is a curse on Tutankhamun's tomb and you need to stay away from Tutankhamun's tomb because if you do try to go in there, bad things will happen to you. Guess what? Nobody's going to want to come near Tutankhamun's tomb. And guess whose tomb gets untouched, unharmed, unscathed, unearthed? Yep, old Tut's. He gets left alone because you left him alone. All right. And the Greeks and Romans, they believed that if you did not pay the ferryman the money towards the River Styx, you will forever remain on the River Styx. You will never be able to cross over to the other side. If you were never buried with two coins in your eyes when you died, you are not going to be allowed permission to enter into the underworld because you didn't pay the ferryman. That's a curse upon you. And anybody related to you or connected to you will not be allowed to go into the underworld because you were not buried properly. If in the early medieval times, if a soldier was soldier from Valhalla or a soldier from the Viking times did not die in battle, he did not die a true death, and he will never be able to enter the kingdom of heaven because he did not die a true warrior's death, and a true warrior's death happens to be in battle or during a fight. And if he didn't die a true warrior's death, he will be cursed, and anybody related to him will be cursed until the curse is broken. If, for example, you were living in the times of the gypsies were extremely prominent. If you came upon a gypsy house or a gypsy caravan, and you went and watched the gypsies' show, and you did not place any monetary reimbursement for watching for them entertaining you, then they are going to place a curse upon you, and may you have problems. May you have problems. May you be cursed. May you walk the earth, you know, forever poor. What that means is that you need to watch out because now you're going to worry about your money. You're going to worry about your money so much that while you're worrying about your money and so busy worrying about your money, one of the other gypsies is going to walk around and they're going to snatch your money and then you're not going to have it anymore. And then you'll be able to walk around forever poor. These are things that are just old superstitions. They're old wives' tales. They're curses. They supposedly curses. And when people put energy behind them, they're actually going to come to life. They're actually going to come and become real. And then when they become real and become manifested and become energy behind them, then they start to gain momentum. And then if they start to gain momentum, then everybody seems to know it. And that's where you get to the point where you walk around telling people that you are cursed, that they will stay the fuck away from you. When we come back from the break, I'm going to give you I'm going to go a little bit further, and we're going to talk about other side, and if there's anything regarding curses that are myths out there regarding other side, we'll give you a little bit of that information when we come back from the break. This is The Crush Shadows with Flame.
and I am in flames.
And we're back at our look at curses here on BTT. Now, before the break, I was mentioning that we were going to be talking about the concept behind the curse in relation to the actual belief of the other side, and what happens when you're in the other side, when you're in that particular type of environment, and you're dealing with those who have been recently deceased or those who are deceased, and noticing them and seeing what happens to them, and seeing whether, you know, if these, the entities, are cursed, are they damned, are they condemned? Okay. First thing is first. Other side beings, the majority of other side beings, are you and me, but only without the bodies. In other words, we are entities that have continued to go further and beyond the threshold. We've gone beyond and gone into other side because our bodies have given up and decided to go away for a little bit. And we are therefore energy. And we end up then going into other side and going into a place of limbo or forever loop or to another different plane of existence. And there is really, in truth, for the most part, the majority of other side residents, there are no cursed spirits. There are no damned or condemned spirits. These are entities, the majority of other side entities, they may be trapped in a particular loop because they were reliving a memory, or they have been stuck because of a violent death or something like that, and they were stuck in that one particular spot, and they're continuously reliving the same spot. Now, you might see that as a curse, but to the other side entity, it's not, because they don't really know what's happening. They relive the same moment over and over and over again until they're nudged along and said, hey, you know what? Move forward. There are others who are in the way station and they're trying to figure out exactly where they're going to be going, or they're waiting for the destination and they're stuck because of somebody not letting go of them, or because they've been attached to an object, attached to this. Now, you could see that as a curse, but to the other side resident, they're not cursed. They're just stuck. They want to move on just as much as we want them to move on. They want to let go just as we want them to let go. And we try to let them go. We try really hard to let them go. And if we're successful and we actually let them go, then they get to move forward. And that's not a curse at all. That's a good thing. Now, when I said most other side entities are not cursed, that is true. That is accurate. However, there are some entities that exist that are truly, as in the idea of it, cursed or damned or condemned. Now, I say them differently, cursed, damned, or condemned, because cursed, damned, and condemned are completely three different things. If you're cursed, it means somebody decided to put you here and make this happen to you, and you're forever, you know, you are forever going to relive the same thing, and because if you die, this is what's going to happen to you. This is what is going to happen to you if you die. If you die and you're a bad person, this is what's going to happen to you. So by you telling someone to go to hell, when you die, you're going to hell, you're actually kind of telling them, hey, you know what? If you die, you're going to go to hell. that's where you're going. That's where you're going. That would be if hell is a place, or many places, or even a spatial point in space and time at all. Regardless of which, you're telling them to go to hell, they're ultimately going to think that if they die, they're going to go to hell. So they're going to do everything they can to not go to hell. But then they end up dying. Are they actually going to hell? Do you know? Or maybe they're just going to remember that you said that and be really, really bitchy to you when they come over to haunt you. This is the thing that you need to think about. On the other hand, there are entities out there that actually, truthfully are, in fact, cursed. They are really, really cursed. They were not supposed to die, and they're forever stuck roaming around and stuck in other side and stuck in limbo and cannot move on because they weren't supposed to go, and it was so horrible that they eventually end up manifesting this negative feeling, this negative energy, and then they become things such as wraiths. They become things, they darken themselves and become more manifested in their negative energy and end up becoming shadow, and then they continue to keep getting worse and worse and worse because they've been fed and they're hungry. They've been fed, they keep getting hungrier, and they get fed more, and then they decided to go and escalate themselves and become semi-demonic, and then demonic, and then abysmally demonic, and then you can't stop them, and then just keep going. Now, that's the cursed. Then you've got the damned. Those are ones that actually have done something wrong, severely wrong, and realize they've done something wrong and severely wrong, and it's a major, major, major no-no. It's a major, major bad thing to go with that type of karma into the other side. If you ask Anubis, he will tell you your weight will be very heavy. You will be burning. You will be burning forever and ever and ever and ever. But if you have created such a terrible wrong, and you've done such a horrible thing, such as mass murder, mass suicide, genocide, things like that, there is a special place in one of those levels down there specifically for you. You, my friend, are damned. You are... The plan has been laid out for you. The place has been laid out for you. They rolled out the red carpet with flames shooting out of it. This is where you're going. When you get there, you're not leaving there. Most of the damned are not going to find their way out. If they find their way out, heaven help anybody that comes anywhere near them, or heaven help anybody that encounters them or comes across those outside entities, because there's some pretty nasty motherfuckers out there. And then there are the condemned. Okay. If you are condemned, you're not exactly damned, and you're not exactly cursed. You're kind of sort of in the middle. In other words, you may not have done something really, really super bad, and you really didn't deserve to go. You're just stuck here. We've just put you here. We've banished you and put you here. When you go, you're never coming back. We're going to make it a point to make sure that you never, ever, ever come back. You will be condemned to staying there. Because, as you already know, energy is cyclical. We always end up returning from other side. We always end up coming back. What if we can't? What if we're not allowed to? You're condemned. You're stuck. It's like you've been put into jail for 50 million consecutive life sentences. Because you hear these on the radio, on the TV and radio all the time. Certain individuals have been killed. They've killed so many people, so they get 16 different life sentences. Life is like 80-something years. And then you get another 80-something years. And you get another 80-something years. Or somebody's been condemned to 120 years. Or somebody's been condemned to 1,000 years. You and I both motherfucking know that there is no person on this earth has ever been able to truly live, right now in modern times, never ever been able to truly live 1,000 years, or be in captivity for 1,000 years. In other words, what they're really trying to say is, there is no chance in hell of you getting out. Same thing for other side, folks. If you've been banished and banned, like, you know, the bad guys of the other side, they've decided to come out and play a little bit. When you banish them and damn them and curse them and send them into a place they can't come back from, yeah, you're condemning them. You're not really cursing them. You're not really fully damning them. You're condemning them. You're putting them in a hole. You're making them stay there. These guys, if they ever get out, all hell is going to break loose. They are the nastiest of the nasty of the nasty of the nasty. These guys have been sitting in a hole. Like, imagine yourself sitting in solitary confinement, just sitting and stewing away and chomping at the bit and waiting and waiting and waiting. And outside that, outside of solitary confinement, there's this guy that has been just throwing toothpicks at you and toothpicks at you and toothpicks at you for over 100,000 years. Somebody's been throwing these fucking toothpicks at you, and you're going to get so pissed and so angry that you're just going to jump out of fucking solitary. You can't wait to get out of solitary. You can't get weight from being condemned. You can't get weight from being able to come out of here. And all of a sudden, you've got enough toothpicks to come out of that, to build yourself a file, to build yourself a sharp enough file to be able to file your way out of solitary confinement, or enough toothpicks that you can formulate a key to unlock yourself and come out of solitary confinement. And what happens when the condemned come out of solitary confinement? I need not remind you how nasty motherfuckers can be. Trust me, you don't want to know. And if you ever come across them, pack a wolf, get a wolf pack, get the pros, and let the pros handle it. Don't do it on your own. Aside from that, aside from the really, really bad guys and the really, really ones who actually are cursed and actually are damned and actually are condemned, you can't place a curse on a ghost. It would be the same as you taking your negative thoughts and negative intentions and negative energy and sending it towards something that you can't see, can't touch, can't feel, and can't hear. Now, if you come across a resident of other side and you actually encounter a resident of other side, like you sense a presence in the forest, or you sense a presence, or you feel their temperature chop or something like that, and they're there, or you visually see them, or you visually can feel them, and they're there. If you were to try to send your negative energy out towards them, I'm going to remind you of something. They are beings of energy. They do not have the luxury of being held back by the shell that you reside in. They'll own you. They'll take that energy, swat you like a bug, and they'll not come back, or they'll give you a good thumping, a thorough thumping, and make sure that you don't do that again. So you try to curse another side being. If it hurts when you do that, don't do that. I've heard of it done. I've heard of people trying to force an entity to come out so you can speak to them. I've heard of, say, for example, the house that Lizzie Borden lived in. I've heard that there was a curse that Lizzie Borden actually, the spirit of Lizzie Borden presides over the house that Lizzie Borden was in. Or the idea that this curse of the spirits of Lizzie Borden's family of mom and dad were in there, and that they still reside, and so on and so forth. I've also heard people challenge these spirits to come out or else blank, speak to us or else blank. Motherfucker, who the hell are you talking to? That's their mentality. They'll be just sitting there, just chilling out. Motherfucker, who the hell are you talking to? You're going to call me out? You're going to come into my house and tell me what to do and tell me who to go to and what to... No. The chances are really good they're not going to do that. If you challenge them or coerce them or threaten them or curse them, if you don't do this, we're going to do this, they're going to be more and more reluctant to actually want to speak with you. And they're going to be more and more inclined to make things very, very unsatisfactory or very unhappy for you during your experience there. I know there's a lot of guys and gals that are out there using the Joe's Box, which basically is just a device that you use like with AM frequency that's trying to be able to communicate with the other side through the use of AM frequencies. Because as we all know, energy signatures have frequencies, and being able to communicate with that frequency every so often will, you know, come across as the spirit can change the radio station and certain words can come through. No. You still, even if you were to use a ghost box, are not going to go and threaten that person to use the ghost box. Hey, can you speak to us through this little box here? That's a good thing, asking them. But telling them, you are going to do this. This is the device that you are allowed to communicate with us in, and you're going to talk to us through that box. And if you don't, something very bad is going to happen to you. We were going to leave you here. We're not going to allow you to move on. We're going to stuck you there. Whoever that entity is on the other side has my authorization to fuck you up. Just saying. You go and challenge an undecided entity to come out through a ghost box or any other device, especially if they don't know what that is. They're going to play with it for a little while. They're going to think it's a neat toy. It's a cute little thing. Yeah, look at these. Look at these monkeys in their little toy that they're playing with, and they want me to go and move the needle a little bit so I can see what's going on. And then you go and challenge them, and then they're gonna be like, "Fuck you." Then they're gonna get angry. Then you piss off an entity from the other side, and I don't think I need to tell you what happens if you piss off an entity from the other side. That's for another episode. All right, it has now been 1 hour and 24 minutes. You have been listening to Beyond the Threshold for that long, and I have gone off on all sorts of things, and I'm tired and exhausted, and you'll be seeing more of me and hearing more of me in episode 52. We're going to try to do something a little bit different. We're getting close to Samhain, so you know things are going to start beefing up. I'm going to do a little bit of ghost busting and myth busting and so on and so forth in the next couple of episodes and everything like that. It'll be fun. You'll enjoy it. If not, you'll just change the channel and go somewhere else. You can find BTC on Facebook, by the way. We are at beyondthethreshold.facebook.com. You can actually look us up. It's a group. You can join us, like us, and so on and so forth. And you can also, in that group, you can share experiences with other people. You can share experiences with us. And if you want to hear something on BTC, feel free to do so. You can also look up on these shows on Podomatic.com, BTT Beyond the Threshold dot or at Podomatic.com or dot Podomatic.com, and you can actually pull up the MP3s and download them at your perusal. So feel free to do that if you want to. And if you ever get an opportunity to, go ahead and drop us a line. Send a message on via Facebook or send a message through Podomatic, and you know, I'll get back to you as soon as I humanly can. On that note, we're going to close this out tonight with a song from Cinderella, which is Somebody Save Me, here on BTT. So, until then, merry parts, blessed be, namaste, farewell, and good night.